You know, on a feast day like Christ the King, sometimes you can hear people talk about in their homilies about how we Americans don't have a good sense of what it means to have a king, which is, there's some truth to that. And we can even hear argued whether or not we want a king, right? We threw off kings however many years ago. And we have only elected officials, and one could ask the question, are we doing better with our elected officials than with a king? And sometimes the response might come back, well, you can vote out an elected official, right? And so it's the lesser of two evils, perhaps. But the question comes back to us again and again, like this feast day every year, because we've never had a king like Christ. Even if you or I were elected president or governor or rep or senator or whatever, we wouldn't do such a great job either. In that, in the opening prayer, actually, we heard a line that we have been set free from slavery. I don't know how often you have thought about this before, but we were all born slaves. We were all born thralls to the power of darkness. And sometimes I think we can kind of think of that in, it's easy to write that off. Oh yeah, slaves to sin, right? Yeah, slaves to the power of darkness. Like that's not nearly as bad as being like slaves to a slave master, you know, like we had in this country 100 and some years ago. But I wonder, I'm not sure that it is worse. Slavery to sin, well, physical bonds come to an end at some point, and we can be born then into eternity. Spiritual bonds, unless we give them to Jesus to be broken, can last for eternity. In that first reading from the book of Samuel, we hear the story of David the king coming into the fullness of his kingship, right? And he's already reigned as king of the southern tribe of Judah for about 7 years, and there's been an ongoing war between David and the kingdom of the north of Saul and his descendants, and David has just defeated them. And yet, they don't come to him saying, okay, here we are, your defeated slaves, come to serve you. They say, here we are, your bone and your flesh. We're your brothers and sisters. We're your kin. We're part of your body. Now, as Christians, we can hear that and say, isn't that beautiful that we are part of the body of our King, the body of Christ, right? We belong to the mystical body of Christ. We can stand before the King, our King, and say, we are your bone and your flesh. And we want you to shepherd us. We want you to be our commander. You shall be commander of Israel. Right? And in the sacraments, we do the same thing that the elders of Israel did with David and Hebron. We make a covenant with our King. It starts in baptism, it's strengthened in confirmation, it's nourished in the Eucharist. It's a powerful thing to remember. We're bone and flesh with our King. That second reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians talks a little bit more about what I started with, about how we were born slaves, because there St. Paul says that God, the Father, delivered us from the power of darkness, which means we were bound. We were born into the power of darkness, bound into that. And we have been delivered from that. It's a powerful term there, really. It has the sense of we've been, the power of darkness has been conquered, delivered from that power. And then it's a separate thing that then says, and, because just to be delivered from the power of darkness is never enough. Just to be freed from sin is never enough. Because Paul goes on to say, and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We can't be rid of our vices unless we are growing in virtue. Because not to be growing in virtue is to be sliding back into those vices. Not to be growing in freedom is to be sliding back into slavery. So it's an important celebration to have every year to remind us we are no longer slaves. And that means we need to be growing in freedom, growing in virtue, and freedom from sin, so as to walk in the freedom of God's children. St. Paul also says, with regard to this beloved Son, the kingdom of his beloved Son, that this beloved Son is the image of the invisible God. Image, the Greek word is icon. He's the manifestation, the image, the icon of the invisible God, the God who is spirit. And now we see him. And how do we see him? Revealed most fully to us is on the cross. That's where he reigns as king in this world, is from the cross. It's interesting when you look at that gospel, right? When did Jesus finally respond? He's a king, and these people are saying, that's not what you're not doing what a king's supposed to do. They're sneering at him. You can't save yourself. How are you going to lead us? How are you going to save us? How are you going to deliver us from the powers of darkness and transfer us to the heavenly kingdom? You can't even save yourself. And the soldiers jeer at him. If you're the king, do something. You're helpless there on the cross. Look how helpless you are, O King of the Jews. And even one of the criminals crucified on either side of him jeers at him as well, mocks him. Right? It's what's most interesting to me when I was looking at this, Jesus doesn't respond at all to either the jeers or the mockery or the sneers. He makes no response. When does he finally respond? Right? When the other thief makes a profession of faith. When the other thief says, this man has done nothing criminal. And then he professes this man to be a king. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Can you imagine from the cross saying that to another man on a cross? That's a real profession of faith. Why would he say that if he didn't really believe it as he's dying? Most of us might very easily be like the other thief, just cursing our day, let alone whoever else is around us. And so I think it's a real profession of faith there. And that's what elicits the response from Jesus. Every time we make a profession of faith, whether that's among our family, out in the world, at our work, at our school, when we step up and say, this man is a king, and I am a subject of his. I belong to his kingdom. In the light of his kingship, I can stand tall and walk free. And Jesus says, amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. In other words, if you believe me that much, if you trust me that much, that from the cross you can make that kind of a profession of faith, from your home, from your work, from your school, from wherever, you can stand up amongst others and say, I belong to this kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. I profess loyalty to the King of Kings. That's when he responds. So in a beautiful way today, it's a challenge for us, and that's the homework for this week. Is this week, look for an opportunity to make that profession of faith in your own way, right? But in a way that communicates who you are, not a slave to sin. You belong to the freedom of the children of God. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Walk in that freedom. Never stop growing in that freedom. And so the homework is to look for that opportunity to give a witness of faith and then wait for Jesus to respond. Here, in just a moment, Thomas is going to have the opportunity to give that witness of faith. And the Lord Jesus will respond generously.